the intro.
Hello and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. The previous section on frustration as a requirement for operational success in the short term, achievement in the long term, and thus a good, happy, and fulfilled life on the whole, was to drive the point home that frustration is a discrete event rather than a feeling. Okay? To that end, feelings, a combination of sensations and emotions, do arise from stimuli. They do arise from stimuli, okay? The STFU, when you STFU, you got a stimulus and you're thinking and feeling and urging end up interacting with each other. They all interact, okay? Would they be stimulating otherwise? They do arise from frustrating stimuli. Would they be stimulating otherwise, you know? In this section, we're examining the innate relationship between frustrations and feelings rather than attempting to divorce them, which seems to be what a lot of people try to do or get advised to do, which is dumb, okay? Don't think about a pink elephant. That's about as effective as it is, okay? So is frustration a feeling? No. Feelings, however, do arise from a frustrating stimulus, being blocked from what we want. And the most commonly ascribed feeling to an overtly frustrating event is something to the effect of annoyance or irritation or some other provocative feeling. Wait a second, though. This is useful, this provocation, because it has practical value. Provocation is typically used in the context of something that precedes and is leveraged as permission for a tantrum or some other violent outburst. But provocation and motivation are essentially the same thing, okay? If you've ever seen mediation happen after something like a scuffle, maybe in a story or a show or a movie or in a courtroom drama or firsthand, you might hear something like, "Well, he provoked me. He's an instigator." Basically, some way of saying, they made me do it. Aside from the foolishness of assigning the agency of their behavior to somebody else, as if the other person had the magical powers to take over their mind and then use that power to punch themselves, because logic. That aside, what does this sort of provocation communicate? This provocation communicates the stimuli's entangled and simultaneous interactions between thinking, feeling, and urging. There's entanglement here. Lots of interactions. This is what motivates the behavior to avoid, shrink, or resolve the frustrating stimulus. See that big M word come out? Motivation. Motivation Monday. Because you're only motivated on Monday. It's common to say things like, give in to your feelings, feel them, let them flow through you, where feelings are good. It's also common to say things like, F your feelings, only appeal to logic. Well, both of these outlooks hardly have a bearing of even modest or partial correctness. It's all kind of silly. Pretend for a moment a person only thinks. What comes of it? Nothing. Pretend for a moment a person only succumbs to their feelings. What happens? A lot of stuff. Almost exclusive impulsivity. In this case, in the context of the SRO model, what is the primary driver of the response to the frustrating stimulus? Where does the motivation come from? It comes from the feelings. It comes from the feelings. Feelings, emotions, and sensations are the single strongest drivers of behavior. So let's revisit the space between stimulus and response. Let's visit this space between stimulus and response here. A person may have an understanding, thinking real good, like lots of insight, but understanding sucks at building urgency. In other words, they stay frustrated, grinding away at and consuming their precious frustration tolerance on the back end, which eventually leads to shrinkage. Shrinkage is a problem, okay? If a person only feels, they apparently do a quantum teleportation between stimulus and response. Strong feelings are fabulous at building urgency. Responding near immediately to their feelings with somewhat animalistic impulses. Away from injury, away from strain, toward safety. In other words, it's almost always going to feel best to vent, hide, and eat when frustrated. Even when venting and hiding and eating and other forms of aversion, like procrastination, where you can do things like vent and hide and eat as your procrastination techniques as well, cause even more frustration. So even when venting and hiding and eating and other things like procrastination cause even more frustrations, the person has already negatively reinforced. They learned to respond to frustrations in that way. They learned to respond to frustrations in that way. Effectively, when almost entirely driven by feelings, this translates to doing what feels good instead of making a good decision. If it feels best to vent and hide and eat, then even if venting and hiding and eating causes frustration, the learned response to frustration is to vent and hide and eat in response to the feelings that arise from frustration. Any frustration. Okay. However, because feelings are the primary driver in dumb responses, if in an act of futility, a person swings to the opposite extreme, because, you know, in the world of the unsane, your only options are either this or that, then the only option is to seek to eliminate feelings. You'd have equal opposite problems. This is because feelings are the primary driver, the primary causes of urgency, urges. In all behaviors, including the smart ones. Eliminate feelings, eliminate desires, eliminate motivation, the urgency to do anything. So what's the answer? The answer is to bring the thinking and the feeling together. That is the answer. The thinking directs and redirects the feelings, thus tuning the urgency. Overly sensitive to frustration, feelings too intense, blow out your frustration tolerance on the front end, urgency way too high, dumb and impulsive responses and destructive outcomes probably come of it. More frustrations. Numb to frustrations, feelings too dull, urgency too low, do nothing. Often having destructive outcomes in its own right, causing its own set of frustrations. You grind out your frustration tolerance on the back end instead of the front end. Appropriately sensitive to frustrations and also tolerant of them? Feelings are in a reasonable range. You can calibrate the level of urgency you assign to a frustrating stimulus at will. Key word here, I use reasonable at face value, able to be reasoned with. Rational thinking. You can, with appropriate sensitivity to frustrations, be stimulated by a frustrating event just enough so that you can STFU. Okay? You can get stimulated enough such that it acts as your cue to STFU. You audit what's happening. What's the stimulus? What's the stimulus? What's the thinking and the feeling and the urging? What's going on? You can appraise it appropriately so that you can determine rationally if your current feelings make any sense, and then by extension, tune the level of urgency so that you can act deliberately, thus responding with purpose and racking up some constructive outcomes. So is it to respond faster? No. Is it to respond slower? No. It's to respond in a way that's most likely to resolve your frustrating stimulus and net you a constructive outcome. Your feelings are what give you motivation. Your thinking is what helps you to be motivated to take the motivation and to do something smart instead of something dumb. So repeat that one more time. Your feelings are what generate the urgency. For the most part, your feelings generate the urgency, the motivation. Your thinking is what helps take that urgency you have and direct you to do something smart or something dumb. And that is where the choice comes in. The urgency, the motivation is there. The rational thinking helps you to direct it. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!